For over a decade now, Americans have been tuning into what we call reality-based TV shows. And one of the ones that's probably best known, or at least was a few years back, was a show called Survivor. Survivor debuted on June 6th of 2000, and because they have two every year, it's currently in its 24th season. And for better or for worse, they say they're just going to continue on, as long as there's a demand for it. But they say about Survivor that for the contestants who come on the show, it's a battle of wills, it's a test of endurance. You must outwit, outplay, and outlast your fellow contestants. You have to sacrifice sleep and convenience, and you face hardship. It's not for the weak or the faint of heart. All right, trivia question. What is the oldest, longest-running reality-based show in existence? Anybody know? Survivor? Not Survivor. What's the oldest, longest-running reality-based survival contest in the world? Motherhood, that's right. That's right. Reality-based survival contest, Motherhood. This week I was picking up Mother's Day cards for my mom and for my wife. And, you know, I noticed that there was a theme among the cards. Many of them referred to the ordeals of motherhood. There was one that began with the definition of motherhood. It said, motherhood is an activity that offers all the delights of running a hotel, a restaurant, a school, and a taxi service with none of the worry or bother of having to collect or spend a salary or income. And then there was another one that said, if motherhood was going to be easy, it would not have started with something called labor. Yeah. So this morning I want to begin by simply acknowledging the truth that motherhood it's difficult and it's complex. And I realize that for some of you, maybe many of you, Mother's Day is a mixed bag. There's good and bad. In fact, several years ago, this is quite a few years ago now, Barbara Bush was interviewed in Newsweek magazine, and she said that she's not really thrilled with Mother's Day. In fact, she called Mother's Day a big ripoff. No, that's Barbara Bush. She's like the mother of mothers, right? And she says it's a big ripoff. And I wonder if maybe some of you feel that to a certain degree. Maybe you do for various reasons. Maybe your mother has passed away. And so Mother's Day is just a reminder of the loss. You feel the heartache that you would like to be able to be with your mom on this special day and you can't. Maybe Mother's Day is annoying because you're really not that close to your mom. You've never had a great relationship with her, and so all the syrupy sentiments about Hallmark cards and all that kind of stuff just kind of turns you off. Maybe some of you secretly wish you had never become a mother. And there are others of you who would do anything to become a mom, to have a child. And no matter what camp you are in, no matter where you are in motherland, Mother's Day can be difficult. But I think we can all acknowledge that motherhood is a difficult job. I've heard from moms when they're being really honest that they all at some point feel like a failure in their role as a mother. They all have days where they really feel like they've stepped over the edge and blown it. They've gone too far. And they're not a good mom. And so as a result, they're filled with a lot of guilt and a lot of regret about things they've done or things they haven't done in their role as mother. I find that guilt and regret is unfortunately a common trait of motherhood. It's like one female therapist said, show me a woman who doesn't feel guilt, and I'll show you a man. Yeah. So motherhood is guilt producing. There's also a loneliness that goes with it. The sense of I'm in this thing all by myself. Nobody's helping to carry the load. Nobody really gets what I go through. And I'm in this for the long haul by myself. So there's this sense of isolation. And so moms, when those days come where you feel isolated, abandoned, guilty, a sense of regret, and they do come for every mom, I just simply want to remind you that you are loved by God. Even when you don't feel loved by the people around you, you are loved by God. Even when you feel unlovable, God loves you. And he never stops loving you. I love what it says in Isaiah 54, verse 10. It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. And that's for you, Mom. Even if the mountains be shaken, the hills removed, God says, even my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. Nothing you can do can shake God's love. Nothing can revoke his promise that he's with you and that he loves you. In fact, he says in Deuteronomy 4:31, he says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you. Even when your own tribe votes you off the island, so to speak, nothing can come between God and his love for you. So this week I was thinking about what makes mothers special. And, you know, when you think about moms, there are all the typical adjectives that come to mind that go along with motherhood. Kindness, caring, compassion, gentleness, these kind of things. We all associate this with motherhood. But one thing we maybe don't associate so much with motherhood is the adjective powerful. That moms are powerful. But if you don't think moms are powerful, go to a Little League game. And inevitably the coach is going to yell at one of the kids. And when the coach yells at the kid, just notice who's the first person to jump up and say something back to the coach. And you know immediately who the mom of that kid is. Because mother makes her presence very powerfully felt in that moment. And see, when God wants to do something great in the world, what he does is he sends in something small, a child. But in order to send in a child, the first thing God has to do is find a powerful mom to stand behind that child. When God needed a Moses, the first thing he had to do was find a Hebrew slave girl to be his mother. And he found a woman named Jochebed. And she was powerful enough to, in a very difficult time, do the right thing for her son Moses. When God needed a John the Baptist, he found a godly woman who was too old to have children. Her name was Elizabeth. She was just the right person to be the mother for John the Baptist. When God needed a savior for the world, he found a young unmarried girl by the name of Mary. One of the leaders of the early Christian church was a man by the name of Timothy. Now, we know virtually nothing about Timothy's father, but we know about his mother and we know about his grandmother. Because they were the ones who shaped him spiritually. In fact, Paul says directly to Timothy in his letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. This is one of the leaders of the early Christian church, Timothy. And Paul says, I see in you a sincere and deep faith. And I know where you got that, Timothy. Got it from your mom and your grandmother. And it now lives in you. And so to all mothers, God gives this very important assignment of nurturing the next generation. Just like Timothy's mother and grandmother nurtured him in a strong faith, every mother is given the assignment of nurturing the next generation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. I love this. He says, A righteous person is one who lives for the next generation. Now, if he's right, and I think he is, but if he's right that a righteous person is one who lives for the next generation, then motherhood, by definition, is a righteous calling. Because every mother is called to live for the next generation. That's what they do. In fact, mothers do more to shape the next generation than politicians, preachers, teachers. Came across this fascinating quote this week. It's a Spanish proverb. It says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Now, what does that mean? Clergy, when they're serious about their job, they are interested in shaping the character of people. That's what we're supposed to be passionate about. But our ability to do that is dwarfed in comparison to that of what a mother can do. A mother has a much more profound ability to shape the character of a person than a preacher does. Because they are involved in shaping, more than anybody else, they are involved in shaping and nurturing the next generation. And we live in an age where, maybe for many reasons, but there's a strong tendency to devalue motherhood. And there's the message, and so many people, so many women have bought into it, that if my life were really going to be a life worth living, I would do something like be a CEO. Start my own business. I mean, whatever it is, fill in the blank. And there's a sense that shaping and nurturing the next generation, it needs to be done, I know, but that's not really what makes a life valuable and meaning. There was a mother, and someone turned to her and said, in a little bit of a demeaning tone, they said, and what is it that you do, my dear? And this mother turned to this person and she said, I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. And then she turned and she said, and what do you do? That's how profound motherhood is. I mean, what could be more important than changing the future through the shaping of the character of the person right in front of you? The story is told of three scholars who were arguing about which was the best translation of the Bible. First scholar said, it has to be the King James Version. I just love the Old English. It's so beautiful. Second scholar said, no, it's the New Living Translation, because with all its current contemporary idioms and word usage, it just makes it so relevant to the modern day reader. After being quiet for a moment, the third scholar said, well, actually, my personal preference is my mother's translation. And when the other two scholars started to snicker and laugh, he said, my mom translated each of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation that I have ever read. Mothers, you are the first Bible that your child will ever read. You can read the Bible to your child, but you are the first child, you are the first Bible that your child will ever read. You are shaping the future. You are nurturing the next generation. Do not devalue that. Do not minimize that. That is serious business. Of course, the nurturing of the next generation requires sacrifice. And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul's reminding the church at Thessalonica how the apostles served them and sacrificed for them. I want to read it to you, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. Paul says to them, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." What is Paul saying? What Paul is trying to communicate is, church, we didn't just come and give you a message. We came and we gave you our entire lives because we loved you that much. We gave everything for you. And the best analogy that Paul could find to communicate that is that of a mother who gives for the sake of her child. And so motherhood always means sacrificing for the sake of your children. I mean, think about all the sacrifices that a mom has to make, even before the child is born. You know, for 9 months, she shares her body with another person. For 9 months, she probably has to change her intake of certain food and certain beverages for the sake of the child that is growing inside her. For a good share of that 9 months, she has to give up her wardrobe. And then after the baby's born, there's more sacrifices to be made. She sacrifices sleep. She sacrifices the body she had before the child was born. And for some women, it means sacrificing the career that they aspired to. And that's just the beginning. It also means sacrificing her personal wants and her personal needs. You know, the whole concept of me time, personal time, alone time, goes out the window when you're a mom. There was a young mother of three, and she sent the following thank you note to one of her friends. She said, "Many thanks for the playpen that you gave us. It is being used every day. From 2 to 3 p.m., I get in it and read, and the children can't get near me." That's what a mom has to do to get me time, to get alone time. Part of the sacrifice. I want to share with you one of my favorite Mother's Day stories. And I can't remember if I shared this with you before or not. I may have. But it really encapsulates the kind of sacrifice that a mom has to make. There was a magazine, Mother's Magazine, who asked its readers to send in submissions of their favorite Mother's Day stories. And this is one of the submissions that was sent in. This mom says this. She said, "We had this great 10-year-old cat named Jack who just recently died. Jack was a great cat, and the kids would carry him around and sit on him, and nothing ever bothered Jack. He used to hang out and nap all day long on this mat in our bathroom. Well, we have three kids, and at the time of this story, they were ages 4, 3, and 1. The middle one, the 3-year-old, was Eli. Now, Eli really loves chapstick. And he kept asking to use my chapstick and then losing it. So finally, one day I showed him where in the bathroom I keep my chapstick and how he could use it whenever he wanted to, but he needed to put it right back in the drawer when he was done. Well, last year on Mother's Day, we were having the typical rush around trying to get ready for church with everyone crying and carrying on. My two boys were fighting over a toy in the cereal box. I was trying to nurse my little one while putting on my makeup. Everything was a mess, and everyone had long forgotten that this was a wonderful day to honor me and the amazing job that is motherhood. Well, we finally had the older one and the baby loaded in the car, and I was looking for Eli. I searched everywhere and finally rounded the corner to go into my bathroom. And there was Eli. He was applying my chapstick very carefully to Jack the Cat's rear end. Eli looked right into my eyes and said, "Chapped." Now, if you have a cat, you know that he is right. The rear end does look pretty chapped. And frankly, Jack the Cat didn't seem to mind. The only question to really ask at that point was whether it was the first time Eli had done that to the cats behind or the 100th. And that is my favorite Mother's Day moment ever, because it reminds me that no matter how hard we try to civilize these glorious little creatures, there will always be that day when you realize that you've been using your chapstick on the cats behind. So the question is, moms, why do you do it? Why do you make all the sacrifices? Why do you share your chapstick with Jack the Cat? Why don't you just resign? And I think the answer is a simple four-letter word: love. You do it for love. Our scripture reading this morning was Isaiah 49:15, which says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" The answer is no. When God was looking for a picture of how to show his undying love, he chose the image of a mother and a child. Because the love between a mother and a child is the deepest, most unconditional love that exists on this planet. And I intentionally use the word unconditional because we way overuse the word unconditional today when talking about all kinds of love. Talk about the unconditional love between a husband and a wife, the unconditional love between two friends. Folks, that doesn't exist. Love between a husband and wife is conditional. There are always conditions upon which that can be destroyed. The love between two friends is conditional. There's always something one friend can do to destroy the love. But there's only one love in this world that is truly unconditional. That's the love that a mother has for her child. I mean, there's virtually nothing a child can do to destroy his or her mother's love. Somehow it's built right into the DNA of a mom. And God says, if you want to understand the degree to which I love you human beings, look at a mom and her child. And that's the best earthly glimpse I can give you of that kind of love. During the Holocaust, a man by the name of Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons were arrested and they were placed in a concentration camp. The rules in the camp were simple. As long as they did their work, they were permitted to live. But when they became too weak to work, they would be killed. Rosenberg watched as his own father and mother were marched off to their deaths, and he knew that his youngest son, David, would be next because he had always been a weak and frail child. Every morning, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of hard work, and he would look for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together, and they would hug each other, and they would thank God for one more day of life together. One day, Rosenberg came back to the barracks, and he didn't see those familiar faces of his family. He looked and looked, and he finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua. Joshua was sitting in a corner and he was sobbing. And he said, "Joshua, tell me it's not true. Tell me it's not true. Joshua turned to his dad. He says, it's true, father. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work. And so they took him away. And Mr. Rosenberg then asked his son, he says, where's your mother? Joshua could barely speak, and he finally said, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. And so mom took him by the hand and went with him. There is no deeper love on this planet than that of a mother for a child. There's a text in Romans that says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. There's no circumstance that can separate us from God's love. Even death can't separate us from the love of God. And it's also true of mothers. Nothing can separate us from the love of a good mother, because a good mother's love is unconditional. She'll sacrifice for her child. So on behalf of all the children and all the fathers here today, I simply want to say to you mothers, thank you. Thank you for your powerful presence in our lives. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice. And thank you for your unconditional love. And thank you for accepting what is simultaneously the least appreciated job and also the most important one.